what basically is the purpose of Town and Gown, and how does Town and Gown become the Town and Gown Community Band?
Town and Gown is now an international effort where campuses and communities are collaborating on common problems, sharing resources. It's a great way to build bridges between campuses and communities. And you find quite often that folks in a community don't really know what's going on campus. They're intimidated by it. They don't know how to get to events. They don't know how a university works. And unfortunately, correspondingly, some universities don't know how the towns work in which they live. And so you end up with kind of a town within a town, which is just ridiculous. So it works well in Murray because there's always been a great Town and Gown relationship. So a lot of what I do is just state the obvious.
And for those of us who have worked in other places where you don't have that great Town and Gown relationship, it can be quite a difficult situation. I know because I've taught in colleges that didn't have that kind of community outreach. And it was an estrangement between the two establishments, city and the town, and that's at the city and the university. And I think that's one of the things that we do really well here, both in the city of Murray and within Murray State University.
I agree. And to the point, Todd and I met a couple of years ago and started brainstorming about how hard it would be to resurrect a community band. You'll remember, and this probably ended in the early 2000s, for a decade or more, a community band played prior to the fireworks display, which used to be at the north end of Stewart Stadium.
Yep.
So we would gather, thousands of us would gather in Stewart Stadium, the community band would play for an hour, the lights would go out, everybody would go ooh and ah, and the fireworks began, and we haven't had a community band for over a decade until last year. Todd thought it was a great idea. Town and Gown had the connections and the resources to make it happen, and so now we're in the middle of our second season.
And just having a ball with it, we got over 100 people participating, somewhere around 120, 130 people this year have participated in this. And for some of them, they can play the first concert and they're out of town on the second. That's okay. We got another, 30 people in the section there to take their place. We're good. But it's really been a marvelous thing because the band is formed of a lot of regional adults, and we've got college faculty members playing in there. We've got, people that haven't touched a horn in 20 years playing in there. We got a lot of college students who are just wanting to learn more literature, as well as I think there's around 30 high school all-state and all-district kids that are playing in there, which is a great experience for them, and it's wonderful recruiting for Murray State at the same time because we're getting to, have this unity in the region and in the community.
Well, my favorite picture from last year is Austin Cobb at the French Horn and right behind him. Now, he was an eighth grader, I think,
at that time. We allowed him in because he was just a strong kid.
Right behind him is Joe Farmer playing trumpet.
One of the guys in my big band who is a retired band director from Martin, Tennessee.
Literally 6 decades.
Wow. And Joe played in some of the old community bands back years ago. There was a community band in Murray as early as the 1950s. Pop Doyle, but he encouraged Doc Farrell to do it. Farrell, Paul Shahan, Gerald Welker. So there's been this long, and I played in the band under Gerald Welker and Dennis Johnson as a kid. So it's really a great continuation of what was going on. I played in it for 16 years.
Wow.
As a high school kid, and then as a college student, always participated in it. And then when I was a band director at Milan, Tennessee, I was driving a van load of kids up here every Tuesday night.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Well, tell us about this first selection that you've got for us to play.
It's a fun thing. It's a community band. So we play a lot of marches because people love marches, and bands don't play nearly enough marches these days anyway. That's a personal pet peeve. But this great little thing is called The Klaxon. It's by Henry Fillmore. It was written for the 1930 Cincinnati Automobile Show. And we did it without the 12 vintage car horns that Fillmore calls for, but it's okay. You can actually hear the march. Here's the klaxon. Thank you.
Wow, that was really, really great.
The Klaxon by Henry Fillmore. Did you catch that passing duck there at the end of the...
Yeah, that one tiny little squeak. It couldn't have been from one of the musicians.
It happens. Like, well, you know, no.
Well, let me ask you, how many rehearsals do you have to go through before you perform?
You know, we do this stuff endlessly. We do it... No. We have 3 rehearsals before each concert. That's it. And what we do is get the guys together. We have basically 2 hours to rehearse everything and then get that ready for the next concert. So it's a lot of pre-prep that it takes. And everybody has to be able to read music at a certain level. And it's not a place for beginners, but we do have an awfully good time getting it set up and ready to go.
And you're starting to build some standard repertoire in your concerts, too.
Yes, as well. And, you know, there are some things that we'll revisit. Mm-hmm. Annually, like from the Patriotic concert last year during Freedom Fest, you know, we're pulling back. Of course, you can't do a Patriotic concert and not do the Stars and Stripes Forever. Or, you know, being at Murray State, the Battle Hymn of the Republic, you know, that Bob Barr did for so many years with the concert choir at Homecoming. So, I mean, those kind of things that we keep in to our standard repertoire. But then we're, of course, rotating so many things out. One of the bad things about doing the community band is, okay, that was the Klaxon from the first concert, but we won't repeat that. I mean, that may be 3 years before we come back around to that. But, and wow, I got to give kudos to Justin Patton for getting a great recording. That was recorded outside of Lovett Auditorium on our June 4th concert.
Wow, it sounds incredible for an outside recording.
Well, Justin's really, really great.
What's on the menu for Saturday evening? What are we going to hear starting at 8 o'clock at Lovett Auditorium?
You know, one of the first things we're going to do, well, in fact, the first thing we're going to try some audience participation. One of my missions has been to get to see community music being more part of our community life in Murray. But getting everybody to stand up and sing the national anthem, and it's Sousa's arrangement, so it's in the key that everybody can sing it in, that'll be our leadoff. Will be that we're going to do another Fillmore march, Americans We, a great old thing by Claire Grunman called Kentucky 1800 that takes and uses some Kentucky folk tunes put together. Doing a salute to our veterans with the Armed Services medley and asking all the folks to stand up. We're doing a piece by Derek Jones, who's our director of bands out at Callaway County High School. Dr. Jones wrote a piece back several years ago called Impressions on an Old Swedish Air, and it was performed at the Midwest International Band Clinic a couple of years ago. It's a great piece, and a lot of high schools are picking up on that and using it for baccalaureate services and graduations and stuff. It's based on the tune How Great Thou Art, but Impressions on an Old Swedish Air is the actual title. Doing the Washington Post March, we're doing some selections from Gershwin's Porgy and Bess, the National Emblem March. We're doing an excerpt from the soundtrack of the 1962 big epic Western, How the West Was Won. It's got a lot of folk tunes in that and some Alfred Newman, you know, the patriarch of the Newman family of composers.
And here's a little bit of trivia.
Okay.
One third of that movie was filmed up at the lakes.
Really?
That's right.
Up around Smithland.
Mm-hmm.
I had no idea.
That's right.
Because it was the gradual expansion, you know, as it was going west. So, yeah.
In fact, Roger Reichmuth was telling me, here's a rabbit trail. He was playing at the Cabana Club in Paducah, and Debbie Reynolds walked in.
Wow.
Because that was the only place in the area that was kind of like they were used to, a nightclub. But, yeah, John Wayne had a favorite restaurant up at Smithland. And so there you go.
There you go.
That's context.
There you go. And then we're doing my old Kentucky home, the Battle Hymn of the Republic. And, of course, the Stars and Stripes Forever. So we got a packed program for Saturday night. That's at 8 o'clock at Lovett Auditorium, absolutely free to the community. Mm-hmm. And, you know, come on and enjoy the because we used to do that thing at the stadium, and it would get miserable. And, you know, as temperatures rise, it's really difficult to do anything constructive with a band outside in that. Plus, you just don't have any sound control or anything else. So we're in Lovett, and the good thing is we program the concert to be over in an hour, so people have got plenty of time to go wherever they want to watch the fireworks extravaganza, whether that be down to the stadium area or if they just want to hang out on the quad, you know, which is a great place to watch it from.
So the air is cool, the music is hot.
And neither the audience Woo-hoo. Nor the band members are going to complain about either, I'm
no,
sure.
That's right.
That is absolutely correct. We had around 1,000 people or more in there last year. Somewhere close.
Yeah, it was a big crowd.
Yeah.
Well, cool. Let's hear another cut before you guys go.
All right. Here is one. It's an old march by James Burden. And what is it? Ladies, gentlemen, and children of all ages. Here it is. This is called The Ringmaster. That was The Ringmaster by James Burden, the Murray State University Town and Gown Community Band at our first concert, June 4th.
And a reminder that the Town and Gown Community Band is playing its second Freedom Fest concert this Saturday night at 8 in Lubbock Auditorium. And a big thanks to Dr. Amy Aquin, who is getting the chorus in shape for the Battle Hymn of the Republic. She's the director of the Murray Choral Society. And we had a bunch of GSA students sitting in with us.
Right.
Are they coming back
on
Saturday? Fields.
Yes, they are.
Okay.
A bunch of Dr. Tana Fields students here for GSA.
And many of you will recognize Pete Lancaster as our official Town and Gown Community Band
announcer. Right. You know, so
you're intrepid Pete Lancaster.
Pete enjoys that role greatly, may I add.
And he's very good in that role. Well, Mark, Todd, thanks for stopping by. Sounds good. I can't wait to hear what everybody sounds like Saturday at 8 o'clock at Lubbock Auditorium.
Well, thank you very much, Tracy, for having us on Sounds Good.